The fourth, the final, the best hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great with Lonzo. You know who we are. Our picture's on the window of the building. All right?
Yeah.
They don't do that for just anybody. They do that for everybody on the air in the building. But that's still cool.
Not only that, ours was the first to go
up. Ours was the first to go up. Yeah. That is true. That is true. And you always know the old expression, save the best for first, I believe is how that goes. Hey, we go from news about the Greenville Triumph, partial owner, Ronaldinho, a global icon, maybe one of the best three or four footy players in the history of the planet, now to the Ronaldinhos of covering local high school sports, local high school football. I screwed myself
you
up
were,
there.
Yeah. See, I mean, you almost recovered, and then you just...
I just blew it.
You burned.
I just blew it, because I'm not the Ronaldinho of sports talk radio. There was a very famous Brazilian soccer player named Roberto. I could be the Roberto of sports talk radio.
Stop with the R rolling. I hate you.
Why do you hate when we talk about the Rob Brown Show?
Stop it.
Kevin Thomas, Jarrell Hendricks, two of the three hosts, 66 1/3% of the Moving the Chains podcast joining us here on the show. Fellas, what's going on? How we doing?
Rob, great to be here, man. Excited for a normal football week after a bit of a mess these last two.
I mean, I'm air quoting the hell up out of that.
Yeah, I just realized something. That's Kevin.
That is Kevin.
Has he ever been on this show?
Kevin's been on the show once, I think.
Okay. All right.
It's now, in fairness.
I mean, this season. Has he been on this season?
Yeah, I think I think you did week zero.
Okay.
I think I had one of the first ones this week.
And in fairness, we haven't had the segment or high school football in 2 weeks. So, you know, it's been weird, Jarrell. It's been weird.
And the weather hasn't been conducive to golfing, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, we had some bad weather, so Kevin couldn't be on the links, you know, be in the sand, things like that.
Checks out. Yeah. Not a joke. The last time Jarrell and John were on, Kevin's freaking texting us from a sand trap like he owns the place.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, get in where you fit in. That's what they say, Rob.
I respect that. I really do. If they ever figure out, Kev, how to hook a Comrex up to a golf cart, I might be putting while we're talking about Clemson Wake Forest.
Hey, that's a hell of an idea for a remote right there.
I'm not
By the way,
it.
You can absolutely do that.
I'm not against
that's
it.
What battery packs are
Okay,
for.
Rephrase that. If somebody will pay us to hook a Comrex up to a golf cart, then it's all in. Fellas, let's jump right in. And we do have a couple of games going on as we kind of get back to normal-ish after Hurricane Helene rolls through. But, and I don't know how you guys want to break this down, but give the people the big decision that was made by the High School Athletic Association earlier this week. Kind of walk me through where we are and how we got here.
Yeah, so as you guys know, up here in the upstate and even in kind of the Midlands and that Aiken area as well, they were forced to miss 2 weeks of football games, you know, due to the weather and the disaster of Hurricane Helene there. So what the high school league voted on and decided to do is basically push back the season 1 week, extend it for an extra week on the back end, start the playoffs a week later, move the state championships a week later as well. So basically they're going to tack a week on that week. I think that Friday is November 8th. So move it back 1 week, and then depending on the region, if you've got two games to make up, some of them are getting really creative where, hey, you're going to play like a Thursday and then a Monday, then a Friday, or a Thursday and a Tuesday and a Saturday, just somehow to get all those games in there. Other regions are deciding to just kind of scrap one of the weeks and just go with nine, you know, regular season games. So that's kind of up to each individual region as far as that part goes. But the gist of it is they're moving the weeks back, giving you an extra week to play football, then an extra week before the playoffs start there, opposed to what the original schedule stated.
Jarrell, is there anything, A, is there anything you want to add to that, any opinions or information? And B, are there any schools that are releasing schedules, have released schedules in our area that you think this has any sort of impact on, or is this pretty much just kind of spread across everybody's region right now?
Yeah, it's spread across, you know, most, like Kevin said, most of the upstate schools have really had to deal with this, that CSRA region and some of the Midlands were impacted. It's been business as usual for the schools in the lower part of the state. So they're the ones that kind of are getting messed up as well because, you know, they're trying to figure out, we're going to have a bye week. Are we going to have two bye weeks? So they finally made that decision. So I think it was the best possible outcome for this. Like Kevin said, they're kind of doing it by region, whether they're deciding to do schedules, you know, cut games, add games, play during the middle of the week. So It was a tough decision. I'm glad that they finally got the call done, and it seems like it's going to work out for everybody involved.
Okay. It's interesting because obviously it's and we've talked about this in days gone by, but when you have something that is as impactful as this hurricane was, when you've got TV footage still 2.5 weeks later coming out of places that are still flooded, underwater, roads are washed out, whatever, it's like high school football. But at the same time, like, there's not much that brings a community, whether it's a big city or a small town, together like Friday night under the lights with the band playing and the hot dogs grilling and the boys out there getting it on. Like, it's, I don't think people understand in until something like this happens how impactful just a Friday night football game can be to be able to put bad stuff in the rearview mirror and at least for you know, a couple of hours on a Friday night get together. I think it's fantastic they made this decision to not just cancel football, but to say, hey, we still want to play as much of it as we can just because of the importance of high school football on individual communities.
Yeah, it's it brings everybody together, like you said, Rob. This is huge for the schools and the kids and the, you know, the fans. And a lot of the coaches were saying, like, hey, can we do something? Because we don't want our kids to be, you know, only get to play 8 games their last season. Like, that's just not, you know, fair to them. And I want them to be able to get out there and play as many as they can. So I'm glad they made this move to move it back and get in as much football as they could.
All right, let's jump into some of the games coming up in Week 7. Let's start with a game that you will hear right here on the Fan Upstate, the Gaffney Indians at the Burns Rebels. Obviously, Burns playing the role of Road Warriors this year as Nixon Field gets a facelift, and they get set to make their debut back on the campus at Burns High School next year. Gaffney at Burns. I got to tell you, last year, when I was calling this game, I guess 2 years ago when I called this game for the first time I'd ever really been introduced to what's kind of an underappreciated little rivalry game here, Jarrell Hendricks. Talk to me about this year's edition of Gaffney and Burns.
Yeah, you mentioned it right there, that it's a historical rivalry. I mean, this has always been a big-time game, especially in that Region 2 and 5A. So these are some longtime rivals there. Burns, you know, they kind of – I'll give you a WWE reference, since you like wrestling so much. I mean, they were like the Undertaker, man. They came back from the dead. They lost their first 3 games, but they got on a little win streak there. They're able to get in a Wednesday game before the storm rolled in. So they knocked off Wade Hampton, knocked off Dorman. They've really leaned on their defense this year. I mean, they have been fantastic on defense. They've been in every game they've played in. So it was just a situation. They're playing on the road all this year. But this is going to be a difficult task. Playing Gaffney, there's a storyline there as well. Quarterback Javon Gilmore, the Arkansas commit. The last time we saw him play was at Bowling Springs. He was actually suspended. There's a situation where it was going to be 2 games. It has been reduced to time served and a half game, so he will miss the first half of this game, so that's a big loss. But they got talent aplenty. You got Jamarcus Smith, who's probably going to take the QB snaps. He finished out that Bowling Springs game. He's a Shrine Bowler. Shed Surratt, Shane Davidson out wide. So it's going to be a tough task for that Burns defense, but it should be a fun game over at the reservation.
It's interesting with Burns, not just starting off with the Ofer, but then coming back 3-0, and they did have to learn. This is a team, Jarrell, that lost a huge chunk of their offense.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them graduation, a lot of them transferred to other schools, sure, which they're allowed to do now. It kind of felt like it was going to be a big reset for Reggie Shaw and the Rebels this year, and they kind of had to find the identity for a team that relied on being able to go put up 35, 37, 42 a game last year. Not only did they find the identity, but it's a mirror image of what they were last year.
Yeah, it's a huge testament to Coach Shaw and his staff there to kind of rally these guys. Again, they already have that disadvantage of not being able to play a single home game this year. You know, starting off rough, losing the transfers, and you're talking about impactful transfers. We're not talking about some guys, you know, that were, you know, getting some minutes. We're talking about some starters that were lost. So it's been a great coaching job so far. We'll see what happens. I think it's going to be a tough, tall task. Gaffney's one of the better teams in the state. But it should be a fun ball game. It's going to be, you have 2 weeks. These communities have not seen football, so it's going to be a packed house over there in Cherokee County.
Oh, I have no doubt. Kev, let's talk about a couple of other ones going on. Hillcrest is at JL Mann as we get Week 7 underway. Talk to me about that one.
I mean, this may be the best game in the state. Two top five teams in two different classifications. It's kind of weird, you know, with the new 5A setup, these guys play in the same region. But when the playoffs come, they're going to split out. One's going to be in the big 5A, one's going to be in the small 5A. So a certainly interesting football game there. You know, Hillcrest, these guys have not played in 21 days, same as JL Mann there. Got a lot of pieces on offense. Caleb Sutton, the quarterback, is dynamic. two running backs, Starks and Johnson. I like Weston Willis, who's averaging 128 yards per game at receiver. Already got seven touchdowns there for them. JL Mann, they're loaded as well. LaDainian Martin, the Georgia State commit. He's a big-time running back. New quarterback McLeod Darnell has really improved as the season goes along. Looks like he has got the talent to make some big noise back there for Coach Watson's team. And the defenses as well. You got Romani Bruton. You got Raymond Whitner, a JL Mann, two really good DBs. On the Hillcrest side, you got Christian Henderson, a really good DB as well. So I think a lot of the offensive players get the the shine in all these two teams. I think the defense may be what makes the difference tonight in this football game.
This is Hillcrest was when I moved up here. The first high school I actually went to see a game at. I went with you, Kev, after I got here to go watch a game there. They have a pretty spectacular environment. Saw it in the regular season. Saw it a couple of years ago when Burns was at Hillcrest for a playoff game. Man, I got to tell you, Hillcrest, like, underappreciated in terms of the environment they'll throw up on a Friday night.
For sure. That's a great community. You know, they're more in the Simpsonville side, so they don't kind of get broken out as much as some of those Greenville County schools do, you know? So, like, really, Hillcrest is the school in that town. So they have a great following, a great fan base there. JL Mann is starting to do the same thing. Like, I think this is their homecoming this Friday night. This Saturday night, actually. So that'll be exciting as well. These guys played two really good ball games last year, 2 one-score games, won the regular season, won the playoffs. So looking forward to something similar tonight.
All right, Jarrell, we got time for a couple of more here. Let's go to the side bowl, Riverside, East Side. Give me your side.
Man, you got two teams probably separated by, 5 miles, 10 minutes apart. Fun little rivalry here. I mean, you got talent all over the field on both sides, like what Dr. Wilcox doing at East Side. Jaquavius Dodd, another Shrine Bowler there on the defense, going to get after it, a South Carolina commit. Also got Lucas Tankersley, so they're going to lean on the defense, going to try to run the ball. The other side, at Riverside, they're going to try to air it out. They got a sophomore quarterback who's going to be talking about for a long time, and Gideon Marib there. He's fantastic, and he's got some playmakers out wide, and Speedy Taylor and Mikkel Skinner, another Shrine Bowler there, probably going to be a South Carolina commit as well. So a lot of talent, two contrasting styles. It's a cool little rivalry there in Greenville County.
I like it. I like it. Kev, another one of the classic rivalries here in the upstate. We don't even really have to set this one up. Spartanburg at Dorman.
Yeah, the city rivalry. Two teams that, always play fantastic football games. Spartanburg, I feel like it's kind of been laying in the weeds this year. I do worry about their offense a little bit. The defense has been playing great, but can they score enough points? Dorman started off pretty hot. They had a tough loss to Burns right before the break a couple weeks back. They're having problems on offense as well. Really could be a low-scoring slugfest, I think, over in Spartanburg tonight.
I dig it. I dig it. We got Kevin Thomas. We got Jarrell Hendricks, the boys from the Moving the Chains podcast. They join us every Friday at 9 o'clock to set you up for the high school football weekend. And they're going to be doing it for an extra week this season because we're playing all the football, at least all the football we can get in after the hurricane. Fellas, awesome to have you guys as always, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Appreciate you, Rob.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Lonzo.
Anytime. Moving the Chains. You can find them on Facebook at facebook.com/movingchains. No G in that. The same handle on Twitter. The same handle on Instagram at Moving Chains. And again, their podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. And they'll go live on X tonight after those games wrap up to take results, score standings from around the state as the high school football games wrap up. When we come back here in just a minute, we set you up with a trip through the NFL schedule. And then we got some what the X is going on. No, we don't, because we are being joined today to wrap up the show by a global icon, WWE's Bayley, joining us to wrap up the show ahead of tonight's Friday Night SmackDown at the Well. It's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. All right, I want to do two things very quickly as we've got Bayley coming on the show in the next segment. Really excited to talk to Bayley, an absolute legend, icon of stage and screen and wrestling ring.
Really? I mean, why'd you tell me?
Really excited to talk to Bayley coming up, but I want to do something else. I want to take you back real quick to something that happened last night. You guys know I'm very pro technology in officiating games. I think we should utilize it in every possible aspect, and I think we should utilize it as much as we possibly can. I am pro robo ump, pro robo ref. All right. Well, let me tell you, one of the issues that I've had is I've seen so many people that are like, oh yeah, you can't know because it's fixable. You just got to do it the right way. Let me take you back to last night, fourth quarter, 14:46 left to play in the Thursday night game between the 49ers and the Seahawks. It's 23-17 San Francisco. They punt to Seattle. Kick returner muffs the ball. At least so we thought. Replay shows very clearly that the Seattle kick returner touched the football. Live ball should have been San Francisco. They went to instant replay, and they said there was not conclusive evidence, even though we all very clearly saw it. So why didn't they overturn it? Well, let me play you what was said by rules expert Terry McCauley. No, it was not, Al. Thank you. Thank you. It was not. And all of us were going, huh? Why not? It very clearly touched his finger. Well, in order to see the A down the line, Terry McCauley went and found out why it wasn't overturned. First off, my favorite part of that clip is Al going,
It was already creepy. You just made it worse. Oh, please tell me you're not keeping that.
Oh, hell yeah. I already did. I don't know how, when, or why is going to fit in the show, but is going to get played a lot.
I'm sure it'll be something you say, not anything I say, because I would never incite such a thing.
Never. Hey, Lonzo, you want to go get lunch after the show?
Well, I would have to say, as long as we're going to get Chinese...
I love it. I love it. Yes, is a clip we have now. Okay, so Terry McCauley says that the NFL offices in New York did not have our enhanced camera view. Stop it. Just camera view. It's not enhanced. It was just a camera. If Amazon can set up a camera that... very clearly shows that it was a muffed punt.
Well, Amazon's going to get it cheaper, man, because that's what they do. So, I mean, they were able to find
those cameras. Oh, let me fix it for you. Hey, NFL, just turn on the TV. We all can see it. In the same time that you were actively looking, you could have just gone, hey, Bill, hand me the remote and clicked the game on. And say, the point here is, if Amazon's got that camera, the NFL's got that. You'll make it really easy for you. Hey, Amazon. If you would like to continue this wonderful sponsorship that you have built where you own the sole exclusive broadcast rights of Thursday Night Football, here's the deal. We get to plug our computers into your cameras, every one of them in the stadium, okay? Hard cams, soft cams, traveling cams, mobile cams, robo cams, whatever cam, sky cam, whatever cam you're using, we get live access of that camera for the duration of the game and just use them. I'm not even asking the NFL to set up any additional cameras. I'm just saying very simply, do me a favor. Just have all the feeds because it should have taken zero, nothing, nada to just look and go, yeah, that's San Francisco's football. That is a game-changing call that was clearly and evidently wrong. It was just wrong. Well, we got the human element. You got a wrong call. You got a wrong call. And if Seattle takes that football and they march on down the field and they score a touchdown, you know what they got? The lead. Instead of what it should have been, which was San Francisco ball going that way, it was Seattle ball going that way. That is a game-changing, incorrect call. And literally, me, sitting on the couch in Greenville, South Carolina, I knew... by watching a camera that the NFL could have literally pushed a button on a remote control and seen. I knew that, but the NFL didn't have our enhanced camera. It's not enhanced. It's just a camera. It's just one more cable from the Amazon truck to the NFL truck. It's one, like one HDMI would have solved this problem.
Maybe they're still watching standard def.
It's dumb. Now, I want to compare and contrast that to something. A red card was issued in a Premier League game this weekend, all right? And not only did they go to the VAR.
What's a red card for those
Stop it.
There's someone out there who doesn't know what you're talking about.
If you don't know what a red card is, I don't know what to tell you, all right? I'm sorry.
It's bad.
It's the worst thing, all right? So, not only did they go to VAR and get the call correct? It took about a minute, maybe, to get the right call, which I would argue a red card to take a guy off the pitch and make it an 11-v-10 soccer matchup pretty much as consequential as getting possession wrong
elitist
in a football game.
Soccer hot take from Rob.
It's not, what is elitist about?
Elitist. Our game is better than your game.
No.
The world's game can do it. Why can't you Americans,
That, yes. Because not only did they get it right.
That would have been a good spot for that.
Well, I'm already holding play on the button over here. And once I let it go, it starts.
Okay.
Not only did they get it right, you know what else they did? They actually said, oh, and here's how we got it right. We're studs.
Did he say nut studs?
Not studs.
Okay.
Cleats, spikes.
Okay, all right. What?
Shin.
Okay.
Shin. Right.
Okay, all right.
These are officials, Lonzo.
Yeah, okay.
Professionals.
All right.
So, in case you don't speak English.
Wow, that took 35 minutes, and they were speaking some foreign language.
That took,
and we're supposed to understand what they're saying?
That took 57 seconds, which is less time than the NFL took to review the play last night and get it wrong. They got it right, and not only did they get it right, but they got it right, and then they offered this explanation so you can hear them talk about it. You know what the best thing to do in baseball or football or hockey or basketball would be if you want replay to work? I'm going to make it real easy for you. When the refs go to check the cam, turn their mics on. Let us hear it. Because, see, here's what soccer did. They took it and they said, and here's our guys talking through it. So you got to listen not only why it was a red card, but why they have upheld the red card. They are explaining to you. It's because he came in, and even though he was not studs up, which means that he turned his foot up to make sure that the cleats scrape the leg.
Finally, a translation. Thank you.
Okay, let me translate for you before you try to poop all over the game I love. All right? Because that's what you're doing here, and I get it. All right? What they said in the most British way possible, Governor, was this. He came in. He did not have the studs up, which means the bottom of his cleat facing up towards the player's skin to intentionally stick them. But because he came in, even though he was spikes down, he came in spikes down with the leg up, and he made a motion to bring the leg, his foot, down on the leg of the player who had already beat him off the dribble and both take him down and make sure he goes down, right? So what soccer did in this spot was they went to a replay. And oh, in case you missed it, they said the broadcast angle shows this, which means that they had every available camera angle in a box. And the ref looked and he said, this angle, broadcast angle. All right. He didn't go studs up, but he did make a raking motion down and he did cause excessive contact after the ball was already gone. We're confirming the red card. So you as a fan, if you were really heated about the red card because it's your favorite player and he got sent off, you now have the audio of the explanation of why that call was made. You know what I would pay a dollar for right now? The explanation of the NFL last night in real time, those referees looking at this and going, we don't see it. Because I was going, I do! I see it right there. And I promise you, I don't have the tech in the bro cave that you guys have in NFL headquarters in New York City, and you can't get this right.
You got like 15 screens in the bro cave. How do you not have the tech?
I got like four. I got four last night.
You told us more
I can
before.
Go up to seven.
Okay, all right.
But I have four by default. I can go up to seven. And then you can add two more laptops and a tablet and a cell phone. So I guess technically I can go up to 11. This one goes to 11. Spinal Tap reference. All right. The point here is, it's not that hard to get it right. It's not. It's not that hard to get it right. And for the sake of accountability, get it right and give us the audio. Do like soccer and give us the audio, all right? All you got to do, because it happens all the time, crap call, crap replay, and then everybody jumps on the next thing to go, see, Rob, replay's bad. No, it's not. No, it's not. Here's the perfect example that they went to replay, they got it right, and then they gave you the audio so you could know that it is right. What do the sports here do? They go, we're going to go to a replay. You can't know anything about it, though.
You just proved my point.
You can't do anything about it.
What do the sports here do?
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if you know this. Sometimes other people do things better than you.
Elitist.
Yeah, America. We do replay bad, but that's really gooder. Stop it. Stop it.
Wow. So
you can love America, but acknowledge that soccer got this right and the NFL got it wrong.
Why would you want to impersonate someone from the great country of the United States of America and do it in that accent?
Because the only argument you are making right now is, boo, Britain bad, America good. That's your whole argument right now. That's all you've said. America good, Britain bad.
How dare you, sir, put words in my mouth. These are two different games, officiated differently and viewed differently, so therefore you cannot compare the two.
No, I can't. I'm doing it right now.
The only comparison between the two sports is that they are sports. That's it.
No, there's a lot of comparison. Like, one of them is that there's referees who blow whistles and indicate penalties and then justify them, except for the Brits did it, and then they went, and here's why, and we got it right, and the NFL went, we got it wrong, but trust us. I'm not going to do that.
Like a bad guy from a 1975 cartoon. You're still doing it.
Twirl my mustache while I do this. My very British mustache. Look, it's not hard. You have the camera angles. Just plug one more cord in, run them to NFL HQ, and then get the damn call right. All right? And after you get the call right, just explain it. You want to know how I know there's time for it? Because Amazon and Fox and CBS and ESPN and every broadcasting company, all of them have a dude, the NFL rules expert. And they put this guy on the television broadcast. And they go, Terry, what'd you think about that call? Wes, what'd you think about that call? And they go, well, I think it's a good call because this, or I think it's a bad call because this. You know what you can do? Let me make this easy for you. Every bit of what Terry McCauley said on the broadcast, just replace it with the guy from the NFL who comes on and explains it, right? Instead of going to Terry McCauley, rules expert, go to the guy who just made the rules. Just go to the guy. All right, we're going to send it up to New York to Bob Bobson, who made the decision to overturn that play. Bob, why did you overturn that penalty? Why did you hold up that penalty? Well, we overturned the penalty because blank, and here's the angle that proved it to us. Or we confirmed the penalty because blank, and here's the video that is the reason why we upheld it. And just show us. You understand how easy it is to be accountable when you got to put the books on display? This is some mafia stuff. We got it right, but you just have to trust us.
Worst made-up name you've ever made up.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I got stuck there. Robert Robertson.
That's better than Bob Bobson.
John Johnson. All right. That's enough of that. Hey, when we come back, we are going to be joined by a global icon as we get set for Friday Night SmackDown tonight live at the Bonscore Wellness Arena. Bailey joins us next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We will be joined here in about 5 minutes by Bailey, absolute icon, former NXT champion, the first WWE Women's Triple Crown champion, first WWE Women's Grand Slam champion, the 2024 Royal Rumble winner, the 2019 Money in the Bank winner. She is a two-time Women's Tag Team champion, as well as the first Women's Tag Team champion. She has also been a SmackDown Women's Champion and a Raw Women's Champion, and she will join us here in about 5 minutes to talk about tonight's WWE Friday Night SmackDown. Here's my question before she gets here. Great one. Are we getting Dwayne tonight? Because we've already confirmed the return of the OTC, Roman Reigns, this evening. Are we getting an appearance from Dwayne in the GVL?
See, I don't know. Can Dwayne roll up to Greenville and people not notice? I mean, you know.
He's got a big bus, I assume.
Probably.
And Dwayne,
even if he were just to fly in, someone would have noticed. Maybe some people you know would have noticed.
True, but Bad Blood was in Atlanta. Granted, it was in Atlanta. He could bus over. And like, Dwayne's made it to megastar status that, you know, his bus is blacked out, right? Like, he don't have his face on the side of the wagon, right? Like, if me and you got a tour bus for the Rob Brown Show, we'd slap our big heads on the side of it. Dwayne ain't that. Dwayne's beyond. Dwayne's like one or two levels more famous than you and I are. So his bus is blacked out. Like, he's rolling incognito around the GVL if he's here. We know we're getting Roman, which leads me to believe we're getting the Bloodline, which leads me to, I don't know, does Cody separate from the Bloodline story at this point? Is he still a part of that story moving forward? Because, you know, Roman wants the belt back, but he showed him the sign of respect of handing him the belt instead of, you know, hitting him with it.
They're also building now towards Crown Jewel, so I'm guessing Cody would be here.
I got to think so, right?
Yeah. Now, is Kevin Owens like rolling up in a Pacer somewhere and no one's noticing him or something? Because I picture him rolling up in a Pacer for some reason.
Also, by the way, it's always fun talking wrestling when you know that they're in town, because you just never know.
No, you never know.
And
we've had so many wrestlers on. They might be tuned in.
Yeah, right?
So Kevin Owens, if it is a Pacer, let us know.
I'm just simply going to say this. KO's got a point. All right, KO's got a point.
I agree with you.
As much as I understand, and Lonzo and I have talked about, I'm a big second chance guy. I'm a big believer in second chances. I'm a big believer in redemption, provided the behavior matches redemption, not just the words. Yeah,
but if you're going to forgive Jay.
Sure. Again, like, if the behavior matches the redemption arc, then I totally get it. But if it's just a show up and go, I'm really a nice guy now, that's on me, after someone, you know, did some of the things that some of the people have done that Cody Rhodes is looking at forgiveness for, all I'm saying is I think KO's got a point. I think Kevin Owens has got a bit of a point, is all I'm saying. You know? I think it's fair.
Daggone it. I completely lost this contest. I also agree with you with KO. I do.
Yeah. I think he's got a point. Ladies and gentlemen, to the phone lines we go. And let us welcome in an absolute, and I'm going to say it, and I mean a global icon, one of the four horsewomen. She is a former NXT champion. She is the first ever Women's Grand Slam champion, the first ever Women's Triple Crown champion. She is the 2024 Royal Rumble winner. She is the 2019 Women's Money in the Bank winner. She is a two-time, and the inaugural WWE Women's Tag Team champion. She is a SmackDown Women's champion. She is a Raw Women's champion, and she is the next guest here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate, WWE legend Bailey here on the show. Bailey, what's up? How we doing?
Oh my God, what an introduction. Now I feel alive. I'm awake this morning.
He's been practicing.
I'm no Samantha Irwin, but I'm trying my best.
That was a mouthful. I mean, there's so many accomplishments. I think you got them all.
I was going to say,
thank you so much.
Which one of them are you most proud of, Bailey? What's of the litany of things you've pulled off, you get to put one on the Hall of Fame banner. Which one is it?
I'm going to have to say the inaugural tag titles. We fought really hard for those, and to bring something to life is, you know, unheard of in this industry and especially in this company. So I'm really proud of that one.
All right, so I'm looking on social media, so this has to be true. According to social media, 5 years ago today, you killed the Bailey Buddies.
I just saw that. Ooh.
How did that feel? Did part of you die inside when you were slashing every single one of those Bailey Buddies?
There was a moment, you know, I knew it was going to be best for me in the long run, but there really was a moment before I went out that I was like, oh my God, not in the sense of like, am I making the right decision, but in the sense of like, this is the last time I'm going to come out to this song, and this is the last time I'm going to have this entrance, you know. And it was a little bit of a bittersweet, like kind of sad to see them go type thing. But you know what? I needed to move on. I had to break that relationship off. It was time.
All right. One last question about this. What was that thing you were wielding? Because I don't know what that was.
Honestly, it was the weirdest thing. And they ended up putting it into like one of my Mattel action figures, which I thought was hilarious. But they had to like customize an axe for me because they didn't. I don't know. It was like an axe head, like the wooden part. And then they somehow like welded some blades on there, and I don't know why they didn't give me a real axe. Like, maybe they were too worried about me using it. I don't know. It was the strangest thing. The first time I practiced it, like swinging it around, the blades flew off, so it was very dangerous. It was very weird.
We are talking to WWE legend Bayley, as we get set for Friday Night SmackDown tonight at the Bonsecours Wellness Arena, downtown Greenville, South Carolina. Bayley, you have obviously been included in a what I think is a very important group of women in women's history. I think you guys started, created, maintained a revolution that has elevated women's wrestling to heights that many of us have wanted it to be at for a very long time. When you get mentioned in that story, when people talk about the four horsewomen, what was done at NXT, what was done during the main roster callouts, how does that feel to you? Do you feel like you were a part of something special? What does that mean to you?
Well, thank you for saying that. I think it's it means a lot. That was, you know, obviously our long term goal. We none of us knew each other going into NXT or when we first started, but it just so happened that we all started along about the same time and had the same goal, and it was just kind of like a happy mistake in a way. And I think that the biggest thing, what you just said, is the longevity of our careers right now. Then we're all making a difference, and we're all still here trying to help women's wrestling. And, like, you know, we were a small part of what it is, how it's become what it is today. And we just follow the footsteps of all the women we grew up watching. Although it's had its ups and downs, you know, I feel like we're really at a steady state right now. And I think the consistency of the four of us throughout the industry is what I'm mostly proud of.
All right. This is just us talking. Nobody else is listening. And this is going to bother Rob when I ask you this question. Is Tiffy as annoying as I think she is?
She's so annoying, dude. It's like her voice, the way she laughs, her smile, she's so cocky. She's super annoying.
Now I would be remiss not to point out, Bayley, you've had some periods of time in your life, and I'm not going to directly refer to Damage Control era here, but I mean, you've been there. It's kind of understandable, at least, right?
To be the annoying one?
Yeah. I mean, I do it every day, Bayley. Sure. I've made a career out of it.
I think I still am the annoying one. So, you know, I understand, but she annoys me, you know. If I annoy other people, I can't really help that. It's just who I am. But she annoys me, that's when it gets hard.
See, I'm gonna take Bayley's side here. She had a reason to be annoying because but Tiffy's just, she's just annoying.
Yeah, you know, I had to get people's attention, you know. She just wants the attention. She likes it. But I was trying to make a statement, you know. Had to be done.
I respect it. Bayley has made many statements during her career. Talk to me a little bit about that, Bayley. The run from the Hug Life era through the Damage Control era. I mean, you have been super over, super hot on both ends of the spectrum, dominant on both ends of the spectrum. How do you successfully bounce back and forth from being someone that was an icon for youth, for the little girls of the world, and then turning around and kicking those people in the same in their faces during the Damage Control era? How do you maintain success being on both ends of that spectrum as a performer, as a wrestler?
I think opportunity, just being able to be on screen and kind of show myself, working with amazing people, you know, honestly working with like Bianca Belair, who kind of took that spot in being the hero for little girls. It was kind of like, as I stopped doing that, she kind of stepped in and took that role. So it was really easy for me to do like a complete 180. I knew I couldn't just like half-ass it or anything. I had to like go full in and be this completely different person for them to totally buy into it. And honestly, like the new era with Triple H taking over, I think it's kind of just like a rebirth type thing where it's, you can try new things and it feels all brand new, even though it's kind of, we've been here for 10 years. But I just been really lucky to have the opportunity to kind of showcase different sides of me.
So you mentioned the Triple H era, and obviously during the run of Black and Gold NXT and then Triple H moving up, kind of taking over creative control of the main roster. If I ask you to tell me what's changed, what's the biggest difference? Because for a lot of us fans, it feels like the product has been rejuvenated. It's a lot deeper now. There's a lot more intricate storylines. It feels to me like you guys are allowed to bring more to the characters than you have in years gone by. As somebody who has obviously watched Triple H grow as an executive, as a showrunner, and you growing up in that same time as a performer, how's that been like this last year, 2 years for you?
It's been, I still can't believe the era that we're in right now. We're us NXT kids that grew up with him in that little era are super lucky that he's so familiar with us. But like, we got a little taste of it then, but it's so different now where it's on a much larger scale, and somehow he still makes time for everybody. You know, like in NXT, it was different. We were a smaller roster. We were, smaller arenas to fill, but even now he still makes time for from top to bottom, from Randy Orton to me to, you know, anybody that's on the show, he makes time for. And I think that's really, it helps, you know, the feeling backstage. It makes you feel seen. It makes you feel like he has your best interest at heart. And that goes a lot for like our morale, and it goes a long way.
You know, speaking of NXT, we were talking on the show yesterday about how the one of the best women's division in all of wrestling is in NXT right now. Do you look down at that roster and think, I can't wait to wrestle her? Is there one specific wrestler that you're looking forward to moving up to the main roster?
Yeah, totally. I think there's so many girls down there. It's hard to just name, you know, one. But if I were, you know, Roxanne obviously is on top of the world right now. She's just been having, you know, showing who she is night after night and having all these title defenses that are always so memorable. I think she just has such a gift. Like she does so many little things in matches that, you know, I can appreciate, and that I just can't wait for her to come up here and be in the ring with different people.
Bailey, WWE legend here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Last one, Bailey, before we let you go, getting ready for SmackDown tonight at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena. This might be the most important question that I ask. Will we see the return of the side pony? We've seen the Karen Cup. We've seen the side shave. We've seen them all. Will we ever get the side pony back, Bailey? It's an iconic look, ma'am.
You know, I've had an idea in my mind for the last month, but I don't want to share it because if I do, then it would just ruin my idea. So I'm just going to say, you know, I still got some years left in me. So I think there's time for a little bit of everything.
I respect it. I do. Bailey, WWE icon, joining us here on the show. She is a former NXT champion, two-time, as a matter of fact, WWE Women's Grand Slam champion, WWE Women's Triple Crown champion, the 2024 Royal Rumble winner, the 2019 Money in the Bank winner, the inaugural and two-time Women's Tag Team champion, a SmackDown champion, a Raw champion. Bailey, you are the best. Thank you so much. You are welcome on the show anytime. We'll have you back.
All right. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Absolutely.
We'll see you at the show tonight.
Yes, you will. Bailey, WWE icon, joining us here on the show again Friday night, SmackDown, tonight, the Bon Secours Wellness Arena in downtown Greenville, South Carolina.
I have one more question I was going to ask her. They're trying to goad AJ into coming back. Guess we'll leave that for next time.
Guess we will. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for us for the show, for the week. Ohio State by 3.
Hope so.
Good enough. What a take. Y'all have a great weekend. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. For Lonzo, I'm Rob. Have a lovely rest of your day. We'll see you back here Monday to do it all over again, but better, on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.